Well, good morning, everybody. It is quite the Sunday to be here. A lot of exciting things going on out in the atrium. But before we get to that, we have an exciting message with an amazing speaker who people are listening. All right. I was just seeing who was listening and seeing what was going on. Yeah, I do want to make one note. If you were in the shape class just recently, we talked a lot about personality today, and we talked about the standing greet and how the standing greet can pretty much define whether somebody is an introvert or an extrovert. So I hope some of those shape people classes, maybe you expanded maybe instead of staying at your seat and maybe found somebody to talk to today, because the standing greet is the perfect opportunity to see who is outgoing, who is not, who wants to stay at their seat and have the people from church come to them, or who wants to go out and meet. Neither is wrong. We're all just different, and that's what we're going to see. We're all gifted, uniquely different for service. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm excited for this ministry fair. Of course, whenever a short message is needed, I am the one volunteered to give, whether it's picnic Sunday or any other Sunday where something is going on, hey, let's have Seth speak, because he'll go quick. Although it is harder to go a lot shorter now the more I've been preaching. But I'm excited to be up here today to share with this idea of joy. If you've been with us, we've been going through a series of what we believe. And we've been looking at the doctrines of the church, but also we have another series going on, and that is our Fruit of the Spirit series, where we're taking each upper room, each time we have communion, and looking at the fruit of the Spirit and seeing how these are playing out in our lives today as believers. Last time we looked at the theme of I was successful, apparently. All right, we looked at love. This week, we're looking at I was successful in putting it on the screen so you could read it. Yes, there you go. Great job. You guys are really with it today. That's because some of you guys already had some food out there. I will say one thing. I want to extend as long as I can because pizza is coming at 11:30. So not that Grace is ecstatic for that. So if you want pizza, you can just imagine what table you have to visit. I'm going to guess the youth ministry table is going to be the place where the pizza. So if you would love to spend your time hanging out with middle schoolers and high schoolers, boy, do I know the place for you. And there's pizza. So come on out and see all the different spots at all the different tables. So today, as we think about this, the idea of joy and the fruit of the Spirit, first I want to read the fruit of the Spirit. So we understand, one, the things we're going to be looking at throughout this year and understand what Paul is telling us. So why don't we read this as a group even? Let's do that. Yeah, let's read it as a group in unison. Think we can do that? You guys all awake? We're going to see what happens. All right, Galatians 5, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Oh, that was pretty good. You know what? You guys can get some pizza after the service. That was excellent. So we're going to look now at this idea, though, of joy. And I really want to think about it in the joy of serving the Lord. And as we think about serving, it also raises the question of even why to serve. So in my brief message of 15 minutes, I decided to go with the most points I've ever had for a message. 9 points. I mean, what's the danger in that, right? All right, so why don't we go ahead and pray as we get ready to see this, answer the question of why serve. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name at Faith Fellowship Church, to gather in a place with like-minded believers who desire to serve and to worship you, Lord. We ask that as we look at these passages that you would stir in us the gifts that you've given us, the abilities that you've given to us, Lord, that we might be used for your purpose, Lord, that we might be see where you're calling us to serve you, Lord, and why you want us to serve you in the first place. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I say, we're going to look at nine things that kind of answer this question of why serve and why it is important. And the first thing I want us to look at is that we serve because by serving in the local church, we are fulfilling our purpose and our salvation. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So here we have our purpose in serving is because God has created works for us in advance. God has done these things for us so that we might edify and build up the church. See, we are saved not with good works, but for good works. They are a part of our calling. Scripture tells us that even Jesus came to serve. So that leads us into our next section here. And our next thing that we understand as why we serve is because we've been gifted to serve. And in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 and in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes about how we are gifted for service. In these passages, he talks about, look, if we were all just a body full of arms, we would look pretty weird, huh? But no, we are a body with different parts, all uniquely designed for a purpose of working together. And this is what he says here in Romans 12. He says, "For we are one body of many members. We don't all have the same function, but we function as one body, individual members with one another." In 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord." We all have these different gifts and abilities, these unique ways that God has gifted us to serve him, to complete those good works that he has prepared for us in advance. And we serve each other side by side doing these things. The next thing that we see as we look at this idea of service is that really service demonstrates our faith. And in James chapter 2, James is going to lay out this example. He's going to not lay out this argument that we are saved by our works, but what he's going to say is that, you know what, your works show your faith. And this is what he says here. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, 'Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Quite simply, faith without works, as he says, is dead. It says sometimes our faith has zero or minimal effect on our lives because we're not putting it into practice. We're not out there on the front lines serving him. We want to be out there working for him, using the gifts and abilities that he has given to us. Why? Because he came to serve us. He came and saved us. And now we live and we serve him. We also see that a fourth reason that we serve is because Jesus says the laborers are few. Jesus says the laborers are few. This is one of a passage that is very striking to read it. When you're reading this passage, you see Jesus' heart and compassion for the people. He says this, he says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." He looks out and sees just the lost, the broken, the hurt, the ones who are being led as sheep without a shepherd. Anybody ever kind of get on YouTube and kind of watch videos of sheep trying to be herded? If that's the word, is that the word you would use, herded? Jessica, am I correct? All right, good. She's my grammar. Check. Perfect. They are lost. They're wandering. And as Jesus looks out and sees this, he is saying, look, pray for those who are going to get into youth ministry. No. Because they are. No, that's not what he's saying. But he says the harvest is plentiful. He said, but the laborers are few. And you see, there's a popular principle that goes along with this. It's the 80-20 principle. Anybody know what this means? It means basically 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And in many churches, we find that. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've seen the same people doing the same things. Maybe God is placing you that on your heart to maybe relieve them of some of the things that they are doing. It is hard and stressful to have that 80-20 principle. We want to be a church where we can get more people involved. That is the purpose of the ministry fair, to see where we can connect, to see where we can grow, and to see where we can serve as a body of believers together. We want to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. When we are connected to the vine, it is when we grow. The next thing that we see why we want to serve is because children see us. Children emulate what they see us doing in our service. And I want to think about this. In Luke chapter 1, as he is kind of laying out his reason for writing this gospel, he is saying, look, I am writing about the accounts, the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus and what he did. Jesus wanted to have his 12 disciples with him, walking with him, hearing what he's teaching, serving with him. And as we know, as we go into the book of Acts, we see that. We see them living out what they saw Jesus doing. And then in Paul in Philippians 4:9 says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I know one of the more exciting things that we have done as a family is the church mission trips. We have taken Ava and Kenzie with us to Cherokee twice, to Hilton Head on this last trip, and they're going to be going along with us again to Cherokee. Some people might think the kids are too young to go on trips such as those. And we say, no way. And as their father, watching them get excited for ministry, watching them, I guess, kind of take joy in being in leadership, they kind of like the idea they could boss these other kids around, I think was part of it too. But no, what we were serving side by side. And there were many other families there with their kids as well. So I would challenge us as we think about what to do is go and check out Cherokee. See how you can serve even with your family side by side. Because as a father, seeing them develop a heart for ministry and a heart for serving is the greatest thing that I can lead on to my kids. And if they can understand why we do it, because we came and we want to serve those who have less than us. The next thing we see for why we serve is because the commission is great. We've been given a task by Jesus Christ. And this is what he says at the end of his life. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We could have had a one-point message and say, Jesus tells you to serve. Jesus tells you to go. That's because this is our commission as believers, to go into the various ministries. And there is a lot out there. To go make disciples. Make those who are going to follow after you. We are here because people took that verse into their lives. And the gospel spread. And the gospel spread. And the gospel spread. And eventually the gospel came to you because somebody understood the Great Commission of making disciples. Jesus didn't care about background, reputation, gender. He just cared about reaching out to those who were broken and hurt. Everyone needs to hear the message of the gospel. The next thing we see as you look at this is our seventh thing, that ministry involvement enhances our biblical understanding. See, as we are serving side by side, as we are serving in ministry, hopefully we are being challenged to know God's word more, to understand the reasons we serve, to understand maybe you get in a teaching position. Maybe you're teaching the kids back in Kids Quest, and I hope that as you serve, you are gaining biblical knowledge. You know, I think about Brother Nate, who had the sad passing this past year. And one of the things that he had a heart to do is to go and serve in the kids' ministry. Part of his reason for serving in the kids' ministry, though, was because he realized the stories were more on his level. He could connect well with those stories. He learned as he served in ministry. He understood he needed to grow in his ministry involvement. The next reason that we see why we serve is because this serving will forge long-lasting and valuable friendships. See, I grew up, as I said, going on mission trips. Many of the close friends that I have today are friends that I was in youth group with. One thing that we often reflect on is some of the times we had on missions trips. Whether they were good times, maybe, or maybe we were getting in trouble. Either way, there was a good time going on our missions trips, and we forged these lasting friendships serving together. And one of the greatest chapters, I invite you to take some time and look at Romans chapter 16. And in Romans chapter 16, it's just kind of, maybe it's one of those things you skip over when you see all these crazy names in Scripture. But in Romans 16, Paul is just laying out people who he has been in ministry with, writing name after name after name. And many of the names you realize that you hear over and over, names like Barnabas, Silas, Aquila, and Priscilla, Peter, John, all these people that he is writing about, who he has served side by side with. You know, I reflect even on the ministries that we have here. Maybe you formed friendships through breaking bread. Maybe you formed friendships through the Hope Ministry. Maybe you formed friendships on the missions trips. When we serve side by side, we encourage one another. We sharpen each other. And it builds us up. So then we continue on in service. The last thing I think we see as we think about our reason for serving is that we will stand before the Lord someday. And in the Shape class, I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the parable of the talents. And we were talking about how there's this master who kind of gives some talents, some gifts to his servants. Some of them take that gift and multiply it. He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." However, that there's one servant who goes and hides his talent and doesn't do anything with it. And the master comes back and he is upset with him. And he says, "Why didn't you do anything with what I gave to you?" You see, as we come down to this idea of the gifts that we have been given, the idea that we are been tasked with this idea of being put into service, and that we are going to stand before God someday, and he's going to say, "What did you do with the gifts that I gave to you? Did you use them to multiply the kingdom? Did you use them to tell others about my son, Jesus Christ?" And out in the lobby and in the atrium, we have various ministries to help share the message of Jesus Christ. Maybe some are in more direct ways than others. Maybe in some of them we're showing the love of Christ. Maybe in some we're proclaiming the love of Christ. But in each and every ministry, the Great Commission is at the heart of it, of going and making disciples. This is the question. So the answer is, why serve? We serve because we've been called to serve, because we've been gifted to serve, because there have been spiritual works purposed for us. We serve because the laborers are few. We serve because we want to build long-lasting friendships as we serve one another. So as we go out and as we look at these tables, there is a lot to sign up for. I know the guys, we have a guys' night out coming up. There's a sign up for that. There's a sign up for softball. There's a sign up for the Bahamas trip. There's a sign up for the Cherokee trip. There's a sign up for, what on the women? There's a Bible study for women's. There's a Bible study for the men's. There's breaking bread. There's hospitality. There's the cross ministry. And if you want to know all those ministries, well, you're in luck. Because there is a, as you exit the doors today, you will pick up a ministry, what did we call it? It was a ministry reference guide. And in this book are listed not just the ministries and a description of the ministries, but also a contact person for those ministries. So that you can now walk around to all the tables and you can find the place God has for you and get connected and grow and serve in Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on that, we think about the table before us. Why does all this matter? Because of right what Christ came to do. He came to give his life. I want to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare for a time of communion. You know, we are often called to reflect on the death of Christ. Christ tells his disciples as they gather for that Last Supper to say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Here we ask that you not have to be a member of our church. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But if you're not a member, we'd love for you to become a member of our church here, Faith Fellowship Church, and get plugged in and grow. Let's remember him at this time as we reflect on why we serve, on him who came to serve.